One caravan on the mountains, one caravan on the sea, one caravan made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One caravan raised the dead. One caravan calmed the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One caravan said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB. Glad to have you in here. We got a great program for you. Part 13, believe it or not, on the 20 and 12 series that we've been doing here in the last couple of weeks. We've been on the trail of the serpent. You know, the deception of the last days is incredible. How Satan is going to come in and he's going to deceive the whole world, and that's going to be hard to do. But we understand that the Bible says that he does it. Ain't that incredible that Satan would deceive the whole earth? Except. Now, the difference between, like we were teaching last night about the paradox of the opposites, things that Satan controls, it seems right. The things that Yahweh controls seems wrong. And now, why would that be? Because Satan and his angels cast out into the earth at the appropriate time is going to deceive the very elect if it's possible. Now, for the things that the great dragon in Revelation 12 and 7 was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. The whole world deceiveth the whole world. Now, if you love the world and the things of the world, then you're already deceived. If you are one of those gullibles, like, well, let's say that you believe in a false Christ. You think that you could? Well, let's see. Matthew 24:24, very easy for you to remember. There shall be false Christ, or the false anointed one. The word Christ just means anointed. So, don't think that there's only one Christ. there's many. Now, these many are they in the last days, the Bible says, that will deceive many. And here's what they're going to do. Now, they're a false anointed. They shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Matthew 24 and 24. Now, the deception is going to be so strong that they would deceive even the very elect. Now, only a supernatural being named Satan, the devil, who could have that much persuasive power. The Antichrist is not going to be a person like Hitler, like Saddam Hussein. You know, back when he was living, everybody said he was the Antichrist. Now we've got Obama, and everybody says he's the Antichrist. But these men pale in comparison of what I'm going to describe to you tonight. Satan himself, in person, the created being, he does exist. He's not a figment. He's going to come himself, and he's going to appear on the earth. And the reason that he's going to appear on the earth is because he has but, now that's but, a short time to exist. Now, where's he at now? Well, I've been teaching you on this series that Satan was taken to the deep and he was bound. He was bound there for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years is finished, he will be released. And I've told you about the incredible things about the timing in the heavens, the point of crossing, how that we know that Satan is bound in a place that's dark. We read the 20th chapter in this series now. We read it to give you some understanding of how long that Satan is going to have to come on the earth and deceive, as it were, or as it was, an evil generation of people. Now, what does Satan look like? Could you recognize him? Well, let me describe him. He's going to be beautiful. He's not going to have a pitchfork in his hand. He's not going to be smoking and smell like sulfur and things of this nature. He's not going to have on all black clothing with a red mask on, fire shooting out of his nostrils. Satan is going to come with the description of being beautiful, splendorous, and righteous. Now, let me give you a scripture to back that up. For some men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as the apostles of the Messiah. And no wonder, for even Satan himself is transformed or disguised as an angel of light. So it's not strange that if his servants disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. Now, a lot of things are revealed in the Bible about Satan's change of behavior. But there's absolutely nothing about any change in appearance. He is the ultimate of evil, and yet he appears attractive and righteous. Now, who's he going to deceive? Let's say that a faith healer comes on the scene today, that could raise up the dead, that could cast out devils, that could heal the sick, that could basically do the same miracles as the first coming of the Messiah, who done these miracles in respect to knowing that Satan was coming after him. So then, who do you believe that would be the first to accept him? It would be the churches that we've got today. Oh, they love miracle workers. Boy, if there's a miracle. You know, we had the Canadian thing going on about 10 years ago where everybody went up there and some kind of spirit took over and they laid down in the floor and they laughed and they got rid of stress and, oh, they just felt so wonderful they couldn't quit laughing. Where'd that go to? They shall work signs and miracles so that if it were possible with this satanic beauty and splendor, miracles and signs, which is recorded in 2 Corinthians, again, 11:13, along with his angels who come with him dressed in flesh. They are working signs and miracles today. We know that our Messiah came and he did miracles. And what happened to him? Was he chosen? No, he wasn't. Was he doing the work of God? Well, of course he did. Why didn't the people receive him? They said, away with him. Kill him. Kill him. We don't want him. We will have none of him. So then, what did the prophecy actually say when it talked about the abomination of desolation? And let him that readeth understand that there is someone coming. He's not going to be an abomination. But he's going to be an abomination when he is looked at through the eyes of the Spirit, through the eyes of those that are deceived. He's going to be accepted as God or Jesus Christ. Satan is coming to this earth as a lamb. Revelation 13, you see the nature of this lamb that rose up. And it looked like a lamb. It had all the characteristics of a lamb. But it was not a lamb. Behind the mask of the lamb, or the sheep in wool, was a fox dressed in sheep's clothing. And so then, the time for this to happen will be in the days when the Messiah is to return. And so then, for that reason, Yahweh himself is going to send those in the last days who are not worthy, who are not made for the kingdom of heaven, that Satan will deceive the very elect, if it's possible. Now, before Abraham was, I am, he said. When Satan comes, he's going to be the perfected one. He's going to be the accepted one. He's going to be the beautiful one. And when he appears, he's going to appear as the Christ in a physical body. Listen to this scripture here when the Messiah was here. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, it says in Hebrews 2:7. It behooved him. Not because of him being undesirable, not because that he was going to be rejected, but because that they would look, and since he was in no form of comeliness, there was no beauty about him. You see, we love to worship beautiful people. Now, how's Satan coming? As the bright. As the bright and the morning star. He's coming as a lamb. He's going to come in peacefully. That's a lamb. When the Messiah come, there was trouble everywhere he went. People hid their faces. They despised him. They esteemed him not. In other words, they didn't know him. If they had have known the time of their visitation, he was an ordinary-looking man. Nothing special or different. He didn't stand out. He didn't try to gain a crowd or a following. When Satan comes, how's he coming? With all lying signs and wonders. When we know that Satan is coming as Jesus Christ, he's going to sit in the temple of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like that we're getting ready to have that occasion, for we're getting close to the time of the crossing of the 20 and 12 that we talked about. And then, astrologically and astronomically, the time would come that woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is coming down among you, knowing that he has but a short time to work. Now, that short time could be 100 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years. That would be a short time compared to eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that the Holy Spirit has ordained before the time, and the time is now, and the eyes were holden, that we should know him not. Luke 24:15 through 16. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, the Messiah, the risen one, drew near and went with them. But their eyes did not recognize him, that they had been closed, that they should not know him. Now, I want to ask you a question. If, when we see him, we won't desire him, and he appeared to you, he could appear to you tonight or tomorrow, at any given time, he could appear to you. And you could see him as just a normal person, nothing charismatic about him. You wouldn't be drawn or you wouldn't be impressed. I picked up an angel one night, and I didn't know he was an angel. I found out later that he was, or I felt like he was. There was nothing about him that I desired, and I'm serious. He had an old Army trench coat on, an old World War II look-like coat, wool coat, the ones that they wore back then to keep warm. It was soaked with rain. I had a brand-new car. And I certainly didn't want, he was a hitchhiker, and I didn't want to pick him up. When I saw him, I wouldn't desire him. Man, I tried every way in the world to pass that dude up. Finally, I felt so guilty that I turned and backed up and picked him up and brought him home with me, and he spent the night, one of the most strangest nights I've ever spent in my life. I was beholden to him. I hung on every word, it seemed, and yet I would look at his physical features and I wouldn't desire him. I wouldn't put him off on one of my best friends to have to put up with him that night. And I thought, boy, I'm in for a long, hard night. And yet it was the greatest night that I ever spent in my life. Now, what did Satan do on the fateful night that the Messiah was to be arrested? Wasn't it not that he said after he betrayed the man that they wouldn't desire? It didn't. He say, "I have sinned in betraying innocent blood." Now Judas attempted to return the 30 pieces of silver. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be worth what you gain in this world when you realize you've lost your soul. Would it not be better to be faithful to the end? Would it not be better to take the abuse? Would it not be better to suffer with him, to reign with him, as opposed to taking the easy way out and being a Judas? Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Judases that are among us every day. And when Judas, the betrayer, when he saw that he was condemned, the Bible said he repented in himself. In himself. Now, he didn't gain repentance because he was a devil from the very beginning. Couldn't blush. You know, when people come in our midst and they can't blush, we ought to start suspecting there's something wrong. Oh, yeah, they may want to act holy and good. See, Satan comes in that sort of way. He loves the cheap seats. He wears good clothes. He wants to be heard and seen. But when he came back and repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver, saying that I have sinned and betraying innocent blood, listen to what the devil said. What did to us? See to it yourself. And then when he threw down the 30 pieces of silver, he departed. And he went and he hung himself. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you betray the innocent, when you go against the will of Yahweh and betray innocent blood, you take counsel with the innocent, you act like you're interested, you make notes, you take pictures, and then you do your dirty work. It is the feel of blood to the conscience when you go against your brothers and sisters whom you say you love. If you can't love them, you certainly don't love Yahweh. If you don't have a love for your brothers and sisters and you would be trusted with their life, instead you would sell your soul for a piece of bread or to be in company of those who are evil because they pay well or because the love of a woman. You see, Satan can have the beautiful people to come in and care for you and show affection until they get through using you. Then you're thrown back to the mercy, just like they throw Judas back to the mercy of the consequences. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, if I know what I'm talking about, there is a consequential result of Satan when he comes in to destroy the very elect. And now, what do I mean by destroying the very elect? Those who are predestined. You see, Judas was never a child of the king. Judas did not have his name on the Lamb's book. He was a betrayer of the brother. And the man that brought a field with the reward of his wickedness and fallen headlong after he hung himself, he fell and burst open his middle after it had swelled, and all his bowels gushed out, and it became known to all the inhabitants round about. And so that field was called in their language a tedium, which is field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms that his habitation become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and his office let another take. Now, what was his office? His office was to kill, to steal, and destroy. He was the one that carried the money bag. And it's often for the love of money that you can be betrayed. When you see somebody that don't work, when you see somebody that don't love Yahweh and work in the kingdom for restoration, to see souls. Man, I have walked miles to the river just to get to the river to baptize someone. And the ones, I look at the faith of those who want to go and see and be a witness to that conversion. You know, Simon the sorcerer was baptized. Don't be worried about when you baptize somebody that turns out to be a devil. Don't worry about it. If his name wasn't on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world, and he come among you, but he wasn't of you. He does his dirty work, and then he's gone. He's history. And then when those who hire him to do the dirty work, because, you see, they can't do it themselves. They don't qualify. They can't perform in a way. But it, see, David said, it wasn't my enemy that deceived me. It was my friend, my acquaintance. We walked into the house of Yahweh and we took sweet counsel. So the fateful night that this deceiver turned state's evidence against the Messiah because he was hated. Today, there is a group of Yahweh people that have the spirit in them that is hated. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. You shall be mercilessly, brutally whipped from pillar to post, and you shall be hated going in and coming out, and you shall be required to give a witness for Yahweh. And the Bible said if you're ashamed of him in that day, he'll be ashamed of you. Herod and Pilate both were political pawns in the hands of Satan. But Pilate tried to have the Messiah released. But the crowd clamored for his death. And they asked to release a murderer, Barabbas. and they handed the Messiah, whom they hated, who was not loved, who was not appreciated, and there is a people in the earth today that is called by the name of Yahweh, and they shall see that you're called by the name of Yahweh, and they'll hate you because they fear you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we are the end time generation, victorious sons of Yah. Well, we may not look like it. Other groups may have a lot of money to wag and to mock, like they did at the so-called trial of the Messiah. It wasn't a trial. It was prearranged that they would conspire to kill him, to come and let us kill him, that we may have his inheritance. It was an outrageous travesty of justice. There was no justice there. And the Messiah didn't open his mouth because he knew that his innocence was the point of his coming, that he came to die, and he knew he had to do it, and he came to die before us. And he kept the faith, and he did not deny the name. So then, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the age of defiance. We are in the age of unruly, ungodly people who do not know about the things that are laid up for them at love and service. So I encourage you, do not be discouraged. Even though we have someone among us that is a betrayer, that joins the devil for the cause of betraying. You know, it hurts the flesh man to trust and then be let down. But be not soon shaken. For if Satan had his way with the Messiah, he's going to have his way with you. Listen to this now. Here's what the betrayers are after. Again, the devil, in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, again, the devil took the Messiah into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things I'll give to you. But what was the Messiah's answer? Get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt worship Yahweh, and him only shall you serve. You see, the devil wants to do it his way. He'll pay you for betrayal. He'll pay you to make a mockery out of righteousness. He'll pay you to give a false witness or become an accuser like he is. Satan was hard at work then trying to influence those around the Messiah to reject him, to hate him. And when the Messiah told his disciples that he would be killed by this power, Peter in referral said, no way. No way. I'm not going to let nobody hurt you. But we know that the Messiah knew, and he told and showed his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from you. This shall not be unto thee. I'll stand by you. I'll cut the ears off. What did the Messiah say? Peter, you might be bold right now, but when it comes to where they're going to put your life, when you have to suffer when you're cornered, it's going to try your very core of your heart. The Bible says that Satan tried Peter. Peter ran to the outer courtyard and warmed by somebody else's fire. You see, when you get in trouble and you get caught, you get exposed, you want to run, but you can't hide. I'll assure you, there is a man that'll appear someday at your bedside when you're asleep in the middle of the night. You'll get the call. Messiah said, when they said, who is it that betrays you? He said, it's to him whom I give a sop. You know how to give a devil a sop? Give him enough rope and enough money. Gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Satan will take over if your love is money. Your love don't belong to Yahweh, and you'll be tried by it. We've all been tried. Everybody that walks the worthy life, everybody that has been on the battle line. You see, the Roman legions, when they marched, they had no armor on their back. Their backs were open. For if they ever turned their backs on the enemy, they were dead. And so then they kept pressing toward the mark. And they kept the armor on. They knew they didn't have any in their back. Ladies and gentlemen, your armor to be covered is with righteousness and salvation and mercy. Yahweh will give you superiority against an enemy, against all odds. I read the last chapter and we win. I don't know how. All these disciples were conquerors. They overcome by their testimony. You may beat me with sticks and stones, and you may break my bones, your words will never hurt me. As for me and my house, when Pilate said, are you going to answer nothing? Behold, look at these things that witness against you. But the Messiah answered him nothing, and Pilate marveled and tried to release him because his conscience was beginning to hurt. Do you know that these betrayers, these deceivers that come in among us, they went out from us because they weren't of us? When they pull the wool over them and when they're found out, they're like a nasty bug. They want to dig a hole and pull it in after them. They get a guilty conscience. So don't fret. Yahweh said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. And these people that are doing this betraying and these evil things that they're doing in the last day so that they can line up and serve Satan. The Bible said that Moses was offered the same luxuries. He could have been a Pharaoh. But the Bible said he forsook the pleasures. He went with this little ragtag, poor, humbled, defeated. All of these Israelites were prisoners of the great Egyptian dynasty. But let me tell you one thing. Yahweh had a plan. And Yahweh delivered through the humbleness and the meekness of Moses. Because he was the bread of life. He was the builder of life. He was in the holy place like I was talking last night. He was born from above. Nobody's going back except those who were in heaven, who came down here on voluntary assignment to be hated and laughed at and mocked because Satan, in his new world order, is going to battle Yahweh and the order he's bringing, and the order that he brings is the preeminence. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. For the great day of his wrath has come. Don't get caught in betrayal. Don't get caught taking the filthy lucre that the beast and the false prophet and these rich, they're going into the earth. They're getting ready to go in now. Y2K was a warm-up for today and tomorrow, when the earth is going to shake and the kings and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains. You want to be in there with that stinky mess when they have to run? If you've chosen to be with them for filthy lucre and sold out for a piece of bread or for some of the perks that they can give you, all of you senators and you representatives that go to Washington, D.C. and sell our country and our people out for these demons that rule, these great, powerful, rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men, know what they're going for? They're going to hide. They're going to run. They're going to cast their silver and gold in the street, and they're going to run and hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains for the great day of Yahweh's wrath, who said, vengeance is mine. He's coming out of heaven in flaming fire. Hold on. Hold on. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty man and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who's able to stand? Oh, my. Never let a man bend in honor and abideth not to keep that honor. He's like the beast that perish. Psalms 49 and 12. These are the beast. And I saw heaven opened. That's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me honest. That's what makes me love Yahweh and suffer with him, to reign with him. You all that are in doubt tonight, those of you who are discouraged, take heart. I saw that door opened in heaven, and I saw a white horse, and him that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horse, clothed in fine linen and clean and white. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations, and that he shall rule with a rod of iron, that he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh, King of Kings, the Master of all Master, and the Eternal. In Revelations 19, 11-16. And in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people of righteousness shall flow into it from one new moon to the Sabbath. And many nations or beings or persons shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh and to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his path. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahweh from New Jerusalem. He shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And nations shall not lift a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for Yahweh has spoken it out of his mouth, as it is written in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that we're serving someone that will prepare a vine, a covering, a blessing? But you've got to first prove yourself worthy. You've got to come into the tabernacle that I spoke of last night in a spiritual setting. You can't sit outside in the carnal mind and expect to make it in. For the people that sat in darkness saw a great light, and that light has to be in you, the hope of glory. It ain't going to never change. Hosea to the Son of David. Praise Yahweh, I feel the Holy Spirit. It's coming. A time of trouble. Satan is going to be loosed out of his prison. And he's going out to make war. You know what the war is going to be about? Whether you are worthy, whether you can stand before him and take heed, having an unbelieving heart, that you would turn from Yahweh to serve Satan, the short-term rewarder. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is nothing but a liar, and he's the father of it. Let's take Yahweh. Let's keep him in the center of our heart. Let's pray. And let's ask Yahweh to come in and bless us and give us a spirit that will stand for him, that we don't have to worry about those who will betray, but those who will keep his way, that will walk upright and fear him. For there was war in heaven. Don't expect anything less on the earth. You are called a soldier. And a great red dragon, he was cast out, and he went out to make war with those that love Yahweh. He's a supernatural being, and his message when he comes, I've come to bring peace to the world, Daniel 11:21. And just like the Messiah and the prophecies, there will be a short time of peace and safety. But when they cry for peace and safety, then shall come sudden, swift destruction. So let's keep the faith. Let's march on in righteousness. Let's fight the good fight of faith. But as in the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Don't worry. When you get discouraged, when you walk down the street, you see all the miscegenation and the mixing and the mingling of all flesh. Because in those days they were doing the same thing. They were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. until the day that Noah entered the ark, according to Matthew 24:37. And then there was a great shout as they tried to get back in into the place of safety, and the door wouldn't open. The door would not open to those who deserved it not. Maybe you've had a chance. You better take the chance now. You better serve Yahweh while you can. You better call upon Him while He's near. You better seek Him while He can be found. Because the devil is out to destroy. The devil, he's out to bring about sudden destruction upon your life. He's out fighting the people that were sent to the ends of the earth, according to Isaiah 24. Yahweh's got a people that is spread out through the earth. They're hid. They're underground. It's hard for Satan to find them. Do you know these little groups around the world is trying to locate where you're at? They're trying to send messengers, and Judas is among us, to find out what we believe and what we teach. They're afraid of our message. They do not like what we've got to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, the horse and the rider, he's coming. There's going to be blood up to the bridle reins, a time of trouble for Jacob. Don't be deceived. Stand fast. Hold on to Yahweh. Walk upright. Serve Him. And bless Him going in and coming out. For Yahweh is the King of Kings. And those that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Aren't you glad you're one of those that can say back to Him, thank you, Yahweh, when Yahweh says, you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you rulers over many. You kept the faith. You haven't denied my name. You stayed with me in the hour of temptation. You've been strong. Don't worry. And Satan has no power. Resist him and he'll flee from you. Walk upright and serve him. He will keep you from the hour of temptation that's coming upon all the world. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it wonderful? Yahweh is the rock in a troubled land. Yahweh is the one that's coming. He's going to come with a rod of iron and He's going to rule. You're afraid that the devil's going to get you, the boogeyman is after you? Praise Yahweh. Are you ashamed of what you've done for Yahweh? I'm not. And I know that you're not. If you love Him, just keep the faith and bless Him going in and bless Him coming out. And then you will know that you pass from death unto life. Because you love your brethren, you're going to reach out. You're going to seek Him in the day of trouble, and you're going to find Him. You see, the devil is a liar. The devil promises you liberty when he himself is the author of confusion. Don't worry. Yahweh has got your back covered. Or they'll threaten you. They'll cast your name out as evil. But remember this. from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Yahweh is the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've been with you now tonight, and I have covered part 13 of the times of the end when Satan is coming, and he's going to deceive the very elect with that coming. He's going to come himself. You see, when Christ, the Messiah, when he came and was born into the world, he was the God that created everything according to John 1:1, 1:10, and 1:14. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him. Just think about this. He didn't make himself pretty. He was no Elvis Presley. He was no Hawk. The ladies didn't scream and like they did about David. David was a good-looking Israelite. The Messiah said, when he comes, we won't even desire him. We won't want nothing to do with him. He's always acquainted with grief and sorrow. Who's going to hang around like a man like that? Oh, my. Oh, Jerusalem, if you'd only known what's laid up for you. If only you could have seen who he was, if they'd have known the time of their visitation. Oh, my. Yahweh, the rock. He's the rock of salvation. He is the work of righteousness. Those who seek him early will find it. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful joy unspeakable and full of glory. Write me tonight. I need to hear from you. Post Office Box, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee. 37874. You can call me tonight. Area code 423-351-1082 at 1082. Give me a call. I'm sponsored tonight by my friends down in the great state of Mississippi. Brother Paul in the great state of Michigan. 1-800-253-2748. Give Paul a call and tell him that I sent you there. Make old Paul day. Praise Yahweh. We'd like to hear from him. He loves Yahweh extremely. Brother Mark in the great state of Mississippi, along with Bud and Edward, we send this program out to you and all of Pastor Buddy's top haters. And I received one of the most beautiful gifts today that my heart just raced. I just opened it up a few minutes ago. And it was one of the best gifts probably I've ever received. Miss Linda, up in the great state of Michigan. I just thought about it when I mentioned Paul from that great state. How many great saints that live in that area. Got one of the largest standing militias in the world. And the devil thinks he's going to take over America without firing a shot? I don't think so. Yahweh's people still love him. Over 400 hours in this wonderful gift that Miss Linda has put together for me. And I haven't had time to even look at it, but man, it thrilled my heart. Miss Emma, my wife, and several of the others that were here at the meeting tonight, the Sabbath meeting, just oohed and aahed about it and just grabbed it, and I didn't get to look at it, so I'll just have to wait, Miss Linda. I really appreciate you and your work and your love for the King. You're one of them soldiers that I know, like you said, that won't turn their back. They got the armor on the front, and they are worthy to look you in the eye. Praise Yahweh, and I appreciate that wonderful gift. Praise Yahweh. If you could write me again, like tonight, at 568, Pastor Buddy, 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, the zip 378-74. Call me again, area code 423-351-1082. Well, I've got to get off here, and Yahweh bless you, and I'll see you for Friday night around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. We'll pick you up then, praise Yahweh, with part 14 of our same series. We're going to get down to the good stuff a little bit later on, and we're going to tell you, for those that overcome, how they did it, what they had below the breastbone. You got to have something, ladies and gentlemen, more than a Judas to endure and overcome. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you Friday night.